Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy. I'm so grateful for your word, Lord, and how you've put everything in it that we need, Lord. I thank you the way, God, you illuminate it to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's a strength to us. It's a food to our hearts. And Lord, bless the teaching of your word tonight. Make it come alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the table of showbread. We're accustomed to say shoebread. Shoe is the old past tense of show. We don't use that form anymore. So it's the table of showbread. Now, I have an adult child that when we see her, we always say to her, you need to start eating. And she just seems to get more and more thin. And she always says, I just forget to eat. I don't understand that concept. I have to try to think about not eating. Right? And she has a problem of having to remind herself to eat. I got to thinking about that. The problem is sometimes in our Christian life, we forget that we need to be eating. Amen? Our soul needs nourishment. Our soul needs spiritual food. And if the truth is known, there are anorexic Christians. If you could see their soul, their souls are starving to death for spiritual food. I'm not against a lot of things, but I do believe in the church world today, there's a whole lot of things, whole lot of things, whole lot of things. Howdy. Hi, young people. All right. There's a whole lot of things that are not feeding the souls of believers. We need something that's going to feed our soul. Aren't you glad God's provided it? Some people's soul, this is a pitiful picture, and I'm not exploiting it at all. But if you could see some Christians' souls, Christians sitting on pews, their souls would be this malnourished. But I want you to know Jesus has a table where the saints of God are fed. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We used to sing, come and dine. Amen. A table is not just about eating. It's about fellowship. And that's the message of the table of showbread. We feed our souls with the fellowship we have in the presence of God. The thing that feeds our soul is when we are fellowshipping with God in His presence. I believe that every service should be a time of feeding our souls as we fellowship with God. Are you glad we can come to the table with God? Amen. Here's the table of showbread, our first look tonight. 12 loaves on it. Here is, folks, here's how they partake of that table today. They do so through worship. We don't walk into church and go over to a table. And I was going to put loaves of bread on the communion table. I didn't get around to it. We don't do that in that sense. Here's how we partake of the table of showbread today. We do it through worship. It's in worship, in the presence of God, that our souls are spiritually fed. Here is the diagram of the tabernacle. We've already been through many of these pieces of furniture. Tonight we're going to talk about the table of showbread inside the holy place to the right, past that door we talked about with the five pillars. Here we've been to the brazen altar, we've been to the laver, and now we're going to move on in past that veil. We're inside the holy place. Last time we talked about the lampstand, and tonight we're going to talk about this table of showbread. Here is a replica of it, and there it is in its replica form, and that's that table, that piece of furniture that we're going to be talking about tonight. Let's look at the biblical description of it. This is God speaking. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about it. And thou shalt make unto it a border of a handbreadth round about. And thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it four rings of gold, and put the rings in the four corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal. Of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set upon the table a showbread before me always. It's in the presence of God. Let's look what it says in Leviticus about this, just briefly. Thou shalt take fine flour. This is about the bread that went on the table. Fine flour, and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. You lady cooks, you can figure out what those 2/10 deals are there. And not the kind you get at Walmart, but some kind of measurement. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table. This is a pure table before the Lord. Thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for memorial, even the offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. That's the scripture description. Let's look at it quickly before we apply this to our lives. Shittim wood overlaid with gold. That's acacia wood, very hard wood. It grows in the desert, overlaid with pure gold. Here's the dimensions. Not in cubits, but in inches. 18 inches wide, 36 inches long, 27 inches high. There's the dimensions put with the table of showbread there. The scripture says it has two crowns. For this reason, most pictures that you see of the table of showbread are wrong. Here's perhaps an accurate one, or very close to it. There were two of these crowns. One of the crowns was set on a lower border. So here's the first crown the scripture speaks of. Here's the second. Why two crowns? The first one kept the bread from falling off. You got to keep in mind, the bread wasn't always just on there when it was sitting in the holy place, but when they carried it. And the crowns kept the bread from falling off. The second part here with the border was for all these vessels that I read about. Some of those vessels were for drink offerings. Others were for incense and frankincense and things of that nature. Then the scripture says it had rings attached to each of the four legs with staves that ran through them. And if you'll look right here, here's the rings that's attached to the legs, and here's the staves. And those were for carrying the table. Remember, the people of God are on the move. They're going through the wilderness to the promised land. And that was for carrying this table. And then the Bible says, and this is what's so important tonight, that bread was placed in 12 dishes, and then incense in a censer was placed on top of each loaf. Now, different people interpret this different. I'm inclined to believe it was this way, that each loaf was singularly placed on the table, and there were 2 rows of 6 each. I believe it was this way because, as we'll see, every tribe was of equal importance and standing with God. Others say, no, they were stacked up such as this. And then even some say, no, there were 6 trays above, or 2 rows of 6 trays above the table, and there was a loaf of bread on each tray. The scripture doesn't really define it. But what it does say, somehow or the other, these bowls of frankincense and incense sat upon the bread. Set up on the bread. So that kind of gives you an idea. There were 12 of these loaves, one for each tribe of Israel. And the Bible says that weekly the priest would replace this bread so that it was always fresh bread upon the table. And I'm not to the place of applying it yet, but I want you to know, if we'll trust the Lord, every time we come to church, there'll be fresh bread available. Hallelujah. If something's gone stale, it isn't what God offers. It's what we've kept in our own hearts. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's talk about the place and the purpose of the table of showbread. Here we're looking at a model of the holy place. If you walk past the door, to your right would be the table of showbread. In our little cross configuration outlining the furniture, there is the table of showbread. What was this all about? What was the purpose of it? The purpose of the table of showbread was, well, to show the bread. And that's my pun. It's not the Hebrew pun or anything. But that was the purpose of it. So the bread would be on display, so it could be seen, so it could be smelled. The table of showbread was to show the bread. Remember last time we talked about the lampstand and how it was situated so its light would light up the bread. You already know where we're going, because there's no other type for the bread other than Jesus Christ. And that bread symbolized the very presence of God amongst them, and that table was to show them that God's presence was there. God was the one that was going to meet their needs, and the greatest need, physical need, is bread. God was the one that was going to meet their needs in that wilderness. And so the table was placed where the bread with the incense reminded the children of Israel that God was with them. God would be their sustenance. God would provide and meet their needs. Amen. I'm going to apply this more later, but right now I just want to say, I believe our worship should always show the bread. Hallelujah. Whether we're singing, whether we're praying, whether we're preaching, whether we're testifying, I believe our worship ought to show the bread and say to folks, God is our sustenance. God is our strength. God feeds our soul. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that He does tonight? Amen. Another purpose of the table is showbread. The bread was encountered and eaten during ministry and during worship. Only the priest could go in that holy place. And once a week they replaced that bread, but they didn't throw that bread out. They ate the bread. They ate the bread. It was a dry climate. The bread would have still been very fresh. But it was the ministers that ate the bread. You see, out in the camp, the manna came down daily, and that was for the daily sustenance of the people. Any Israelite, every day, except the day that it came twice for the Sabbath, any Israelite could go out in the morning, and God sent manna with the dew. The dew became manna. But this is different. This bread is different. This isn't what we have need of for daily sustenance. This was the bread that was available when they came into the house of God for worship. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, you need the manna daily. I've always encouraged every believer to have a daily time with God, a daily time in His Word, a daily time of prayer. But in our figure tonight, that's picking up manna. That's the individual picking up the manna for the daily, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday sustenance. But the bread on the show to the table, the showbread, wasn't for daily sustenance. It was for the times of worship, the times of coming to God's house. You came to God's house to minister and worship, and there was bread of sustenance. Thank God for the daily sustenance. Thank God that we can have manna on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but it's really nothing compared to the bread that God has on His table when we come to His house and we begin to minister to the Lord and worship Him. We discover that He's put the bread on the table. Oh, what a time in the house of God. The bread was put on the table so they could encounter it in worship. Then what was the purpose? The bread was for the sustenance of the priest. You're saying, oh, we're talking about the preacher. No. I want to remind us, from New Testament times on, we are all priests unto God. There's no separation of classes here, priest and people, preacher and people. No, sir. I just have a different role in the church than you do. But we are all on level ground. We are all priests before God. And that bread on that table was for the sustenance of the priest. You need to say tonight, first of all, I am a priest of the Most High God. And being a priest, there is bread available for my soul. Hallelujah. Oh, we got to get the picture of who we are. The devil likes us to think we're nothing. We're just trash. Amen. With all our faults and failures, we're just... But I'm telling you, if you're born again, you are a priest of the Most High God. And the table of showbread says God has sustenance for the souls of his priests. Hallelujah. There's food in this place tonight for the priest of God. Amen. All believers are priests. But I pointed out, I'll come back to it in just a moment, but that bread was made out of fine flour. In other words, it was the best meal. It was the best bread anywhere in the camp. You wouldn't find any better bread than you found on the table of the showbread in the house of God. I want to tell you tonight, God's servants always get the best bread. The world can talk about what they partake of, but it's God's servants that get the best bread. It's those that come to the house of the Lord that get the best bread. Hallelujah. Amen. I know it's just an illustration, but I got to thinking about that prodigal son there in the pig pen. Do you remember what he said? When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." Being in that pig pen's a type of being in the world, but he began to think about the servants in his father's house. And it came to him, here I am in this pig pen, but in my father's house, every one of his servants has bread. Amen. This world will try to clamor like it's having a good time and everything else, but if they would come to themselves, they would realize how much better the servants of God in the house of God were the ones that have the bread. Hallelujah. There's nothing out there to feed the soul but being servants of God. We come into his house, and there on the table is the bread to feed our hearts and our souls. Let's look at the type or illustration of the table of showbread. A table with bread. Table, bread. Those two things speak of fellowship and sustenance. Fellowship and sustenance. The table, the Bible said, was built of wood covered with gold. Wood covered with gold. Again, as over and over through the tabernacle, a picture of Christ, who was both man, the wood, and God, the gold. Jesus was the God-man. The only reason we have bread for our souls available is because of the God-man, Jesus. He has brought us the bread from heaven. The only way we have fellowship with God is because of the God-man, Jesus. Can you say amen tonight? The table speaks of Jesus and his being both God and man. And then there were the two crowns that we talked about. And this speaks of Jesus being crowned twice. Jesus was crowned with the crown of thorns when he purchased our salvation. But now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is crowned with the crown of the sovereign, the King of Kings. And he's coming back. Man has already put the first crown on. Man has already seen him with the first crown, the crown of thorns. But man is going to see him with the second crown as well. Hallelujah. He's going to rule until he makes every enemy his footstool. And then there's the rings and the staves, again, because they carried this, and it's yet another reminder of the pilgrimage God's people are on. That table had those staves, they carried it, they carried the bread with them to have sustenance in the wilderness. Look, I know it's a bit redundant, but we can never forget we are pilgrims. Clear up in the New Testament, Peter is still reminded. He said, don't forget that you're pilgrims, and I beseech you as pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Amen. And then there's the bread. Hallelujah. That speaks of Jesus being our sustenance. Can you really partake of Christ? Can you do it? What about that bread? The Bible said the bread was a fine grain. That means it had been first been beaten to get rid of every bit of the husk, and then it had been finally ground. If there was ever a person that suffered, was beaten, was went through the fine grinding of trial and heartache and pain, it was Christ. But all that suffering, Sister May, he was going through that so he could be the bread for our souls. Hallelujah. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient. All that was the grinding of the wheat, the grain, that made the bread of which we receive our sustenance. The bread was baked in fire. The fire of affliction, the fire of suffering came Christ's way. The bread was unleavened. He who knew no sin became the sin offering that we might become the righteousness of God. He looked at his enemies and said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" And none of them could point any sin in his life. He's the unleavened bread. The bread was all of loaves the same size. Each loaf was represented for each tribe. Amen. I like the fact that they were all the same size, because with God there is no respect of person. Benjamin was a small tribe. Manasseh was a large one, but they had the same size loaf. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's no respect of person. The sustenance of soul that he gives to me, he'll give to you. What he gives to you, he'll give to me. Aren't you glad he's no respecter of persons? Thank God and the Lamb forever. That showbread. Jesus is our bread. Hallelujah. I begin to think of the scriptures in John. Amen. Jesus said, "For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Hallelujah. And they said, how they respond to that? They said, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Oh, hallelujah. I wish God to get a hold of our hearts even from this lesson tonight, and our cry would be their cry. Lord, give us that bread from heaven that gives life to the world. The Jews started murmuring at him. Jesus went on to say, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." And the Jews, they got upset because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." They said, "This is just Jesus, whose father and mother we know. And how is it he can say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus said, "I'll say it again. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But whosoever eateth of this bread shall not die, because I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can he give us of his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth his flesh and drinketh his blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up again in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by my Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And the disciples turned to leave. And Jesus said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life." We don't eat of his literal flesh, but every time we partake of his word, every time in worship that we feel his presence and say yes to his presence, oh, that's the living bread that gives eternal life, that will cause us to live for on and on for eternity. I'm glad the bread's here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is the bread. Well, how about got excited about that? It's only our sustenance drawn from the bread that'll get us through the wilderness into heaven. The bread was changed regularly, amen, for fresh bread And I like the fact it was changed on the Sabbath. Our Sabbath is Sunday. I believe if we'll believe God, there's fresh bread every Sabbath. Hallelujah. How many's noticed that lately? There's been fresh bread every Sabbath. Glory to God. And then there was frankincense that was put in vessels and was put upon the bread. And that speaks, it was pure frankincense. That speaks of Jesus' purity, which makes him and his life a wonderful fragrance to God. Can you, I begin to think, in that little holy place, can you imagine smelling that fresh bread and also that frankincense filling that little chamber there? It must have been something to smell. How many knows the effect that fresh bread, the smell of fresh bread can have on you? Hallelujah. There's very few people when they smell fresh bread cooking, it doesn't immediately get a response. I believe as we pray throughout the week, when we enter this place on Sunday morning, people will be able to smell the fresh bread. Hallelujah. Church, we need his presence. That's what I'm talking about. Because we need the sustenance he gives. Praise the name of the Lord. Last of all, let's look at the life lessons. I want to say something tonight. This is not something that's come to me or nothing I have in mind for our church. It's just something that happens a lot in churches. Sometimes folks, you know, they'll get out of sorts with leadership or somebody, a brother or sister of the church, and they'll decide to go elsewhere, but the excuse they'll give, and I understand this. I really do understand this. And sometimes it's legitimate. I know folks get caught up in situations where the truth isn't preached, the true doctrine's not given. But folks will say, I just don't get fed. And there are situations that's legitimate. And I can understand that. But in a place where the Word of God is preached, in a place where the Spirit of the Lord is at work, no one should be able to say, well, I just can't get fed here. Because God has put bread on the table. And don't blame someone else for not being fed when God's presence is in the place. Because he's made it available if you'll just partake. Amen. Life lessons. We've talked about how that going through the tabernacle, progressing the tabernacle, ought to be something we see in our heart, in our daily personal time of prayer. But every time we come to the house of God, we ought to see ourselves in this progression of going through the tabernacle. We've talked about the brazen altar. When you come to church or in your daily time, Brother Keith, first of all, you need to visit the brazen altar. That's the justification. It's there we deal with the guilt and condemnation of our sin. Here's what we do as we progress. At the brazen altar, we say to ourselves, I need to take care of any unconfessed and any unwashed sins before proceeding any further. And then after the brazen altar, we visit the laver. That labor speaks of sanctification. We deal with our sinful nature and the appeal of the world. So in our progression of prayer time at home or in the church, we secondly say, I need to let God deal with me about and cleanse me from those things that lead me into sin or lead me away from him or cause my heart to be cold. And then from the labor, we move into the holy place there at the lampstand. The lampstand speaks of illumination of the Holy Spirit. We have Christ illuminate to us by his Spirit. In that progression, we say, God, today, or in the worship tonight, I need the Holy Spirit through the Word to make the things of God real to my understanding and heart. You know, I've been in church all my life. I'm not saying I know everything, I don't, but most of the things that we hear have become so familiar. And they become that to us until the Holy Spirit makes them real to us all over again. And so in your personal times at home or in the house of God, say, Lord, I want to progress in this thing. I need the Holy Spirit to illuminate, shine his light, and make Jesus real all over again to me. But tonight we're progressing even further to the table of showbread. That speaks of sustenance and fellowship. That says, I need fellowship with God. So my heart is fed by Christ. And I say to myself, I need the nourishment to my soul that Jesus can give as I fellowship with him. What's the life lessons? Just real quick. If we are to get through the wilderness, we must partake of the bread. You will not make it through this wilderness a believer if you're not regularly partaking of the bread of Christ. You need it every service. You'll never make it through the wilderness of public school, home life, neighborhood, workplace. You'll never make it through this wilderness unless you partake of the bread. Brother Laredo, every service, we need to partake of the bread. How do you do it? You enter into His presence and feast on the divine. Hallelujah. Next life lesson, there's others. It's just a few. Worship is ministry, and those who minister must partake of the bread. Not only do you partake of the bread through worship, but to even worship you need the bread. Amen. And especially those that are involved in leading the worship, they need to first partake of the bread. Whether it's playing an instrument, preaching, teaching a Sunday school class, singing in the choir, if you really want your worship to be as it ought, you need to partake of the bread before you attempt to minister. Amen. Another life lesson, we as Christ's body should also become the table that presents the bread. That table was representative of Christ, and the table presented the bread. What is Christ on earth now? It's the church. It's the people of God. We are now the table. And when folks look at us, they ought to see a presentation of the bread of life. We ought to be holding forth bread of life to a dying and a despairing world that needs it. Oh, hallelujah. The table of shewbread. The table of the loaves. We sing sometime, it's about the living water and the woman at the well, but we sing bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. How many's hungry tonight? How many will say with the people, evermore, Lord, give us this bread. Hallelujah. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. How do you partake? Through worship in His presence. Table of shewbread. We sang Sunday morning, come, worship the Lord. Feast at His table. Taste of His goodness. It's in His presence that our souls are fed. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Amen. I'm just about to complete a book about the Bataan death march there in the Philippines. And that march was bad enough, marching those men without food and water 66 miles. But what they suffered afterwards in the prison camps and in the work gangs was even worse. I shared a little bit with Andrew. For almost 4 years, some of them lived on, if they got it, a half a cup of rice a day full of weevils, and totally deficient of vitamin B and D and other vitamins, and they lost down to men my size would weigh 100, 110 pounds, and dysentery and sickness, filth, no help from their captors. They told after almost 4 years of this, even though it was a despairing thing, they put them on trains. They were going to take them to port and send them to the homeland of Japan and make a mine there in the mountains of Japan. They talked about on one of those trains, somebody gave them their first cup of soup and a piece of bread that they'd had in years. And that one prisoner I read, he said, began to almost weep when he held that crust of bread. He said, I thought I went to heaven because I had a piece of bread. Sometimes I've had trouble sleeping at night. I read that right before I go to sleep. But, you know, we're talking about spiritual bread. And here it is available. It is heavenly to have the bread. And tonight on a Wednesday night, we've been feasting at His table. Is your soul hungry? Is your soul hungry? Just say with those people, Lord, evermore, give me the bread. Would you stand? Let's enter into His presence. Would you lift your hearts and hands? Say, God, I want to feast at your table. Come on, let's praise Him. God, I want to feast at your table. I want to feast at your table. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, nothing in this world will ever feed, ever satisfy your soul, ever. But Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that eateth of me shall not die. I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. I wonder how many would say by coming to this altar tonight, all over the building, you'd say, I'm hungry. And you'd say by coming, Lord, give me this bread. Would you come? How many's got hungry hearts tonight? You'd say by coming, Lord, give me this bread. I need sustenance. I need strength. I need something for my soul tonight. And enter into his presence. Enter into his presence. It's by his presence. It's by his presence that we're filled.